سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی وزیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی های گمنام در تهران است، آقای لوری با 25 سال هوشیاری از امریکا می باشند. موضوع جلسه امشب قدم اول. جلسه در خدمت شماست، بفرمایید.
Dear Lori, please start. Can you hear me?
Hi, it's Lorraine. You guys are speaking to me? I wasn't sure.
Yes, I'm yes. speaking to... hi.
Okay, hi. Okay, I'm Lorraine. I'm an alcoholic.
سلام، من لورین و یک الکلی هستم. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, I'm very glad to be here today. It's a rainy, cool day, and back in the day, this would have been a day that I would have loved to drink because it's our summertime, and it's the sort of day where you're not supposed to do anything else.
امروز یه روز خنکه، بارون داره میاد و اگه زمان مصرف من بود، من حتما تو چنین روزی فقط دلم میخواست مشروب بخورم.
But of course the truth is I drank if it was Tuesday or Wednesday or rainy or not rainy or I was supposed to get something done.
و واقعیت اینه که من در هر صورت اون موقع چه روز یک شنبه بود، چه سه شنبه بود، چه بارون می اومد، چه بارون نمی اومد، چه کار مهمی باید میکردم یا نمیکردم، مشروب میخوردم.
So I will just start out by saying that for me to talk about step one, I have to remember the two things, powerlessness and unmanageability.
برای اینکه بخوام راجع به قدم یک صحبت کنم، باید دو تا چیز یادم باشه. یکی بی‌قدرتیه و دیگری غیر قابل اداره بودن.
So if I'm going to start with powerlessness, and thank you so much, Sol, for being such a great interpreter. If I'm going to start out with powerlessness, I have to look back and admit to myself how my drinking was making decisions for me.
اگر که من بخوام راجع به بی‌قدرتیم حرف بزنم، باید برگردم و ببینم که چجوری مشروب خوردن من داشت واسه من تو زندگی تصمیم می‌گرفت.
So for instance, if I was interested in dating someone and they wanted to go to the movies, that was not what I wanted to do because you're not going to be drinking at the movies, so this is the wrong person for me to date.
برای همین من اگه میخواستم با یه نفر آشنا بشم، قرار بذارم، اگه اون فرد میخواست بره سینما، این آدم مناسبی برای من نبود، برای اینکه من دلم نمیخواست برم سینما.
So I would choose someone that liked to drink like me or preferably a little more so that I could say I really didn't have a problem. He had a problem.
برای همین من باید با یه آدمی قرار میذاشتم و معاشرت میکردم که مشروب میخورد مثل من یا شاید حتی کارهای بیشتری میکرد که من میگفتم مشکل با من نیست و ایشون مشکل داره.
So for example, I always kept alcohol with me. I would have it ostensibly to share with other people, but really it was my stash.
Ostensibly.
I meant for it to be to share, but the truth was it was really not to share.
من همیشه مشروب همراه خودم داشتم و زیادترم داشتم در اینکه بخوام با دیگران تقسیم کنم، ولی واقعیت این بود که دلم نمیخواست با کسی تقسیم کنم.
So when I came into the program, I was a person that really believed that I was not powerless. I thought that if I didn't drink on the full moon, if I didn't drink with my friend Mary, if I didn't drink, Saturday night after drinking all day, if I didn't drink on a boat, if I didn't, you know, I had all these rules about my drinking. But the truth was, the rules did not protect me, really. I had alcoholism, whatever rules I was trying to impose on myself.
و من وقتی اومدم وارد برنامه شدم، احساس نمی کردم که بی قدرت هستم. من یه سری قانونایی برای خودم گذاشته بودم که مثلا در ماه کامل باید مشروب بخورم، اگه دوستامو میبینم باید مشروب بخورم، اگه شنبه شب باید مشروب بخورم، اگه میرم روی قایق باید مشروب بخورم. این همه قانون گذاشته بودم، ولی واقعا این قانونها مطرح نبودن. واقعا این بود که من یک الکلی بودم.
So when I came to AA, for example, my sponsor wanted me to come to a meeting every day and to call other people every day. And I said, well, I didn't drink every day. And what am I going to talk to these people about?
مثلا من اومدم به برنامه و راهنمایی من میگفت تو باید هر روز به یه جلسه بری و هر روز به اعضای دیگه تو AA زنگ بزنی. و من میگفتم که من هر روز مشروب نمیخوردم و من زنگ بزنم با این آدما چی بگم.
But what I had to realize is if I truly am powerless, I cannot be questioning my sponsor. I have to get on board with her against my disease because I will not win in single-handed combat.
و اگه واقعا من بی قدرت باشم نباید این سوال ها رو بپرسم، به خاطر اینی که من باید همراه و همراستای راهنمام باشم که بتونم در مقابل این بیماری دوام بیارم، وگرنه من نمیتونم جلوی این بیماری وایسم.
So today when my sponsor gives me suggestions, even though I've been sober over 20 years, I just do what she says.
برای همین امروز وقتی راهنمای من به من پیشنهادی میکنه با اینی که من 20 بالای 20 ساله که پاک هستم، من حتما اونو بهش گوش میدم.
And that brings me to the second part, which is unmanageability.
و اون منو میاره به قسمت دوم قدم یک که غیر قابل اداره بودن زندگیمه.
Today I am still powerless over alcohol, but as long as I don't drink, I have a choice.
و من امروز هنوز هم در مقابل الکل بی قدرت هستم، ولی تا زمانی که لبم به مشروب نخورده هنوز قدرت یعنی یک انتخابی دارم.
So the part that's really important for me now is to work on my unmanageability. For example, today I can overwork. That's really my biggest problem is I can't take a break, I can't relax, I can't cut myself some slack. Eat coffee, ice cream with walnuts on it. I want to achieve, achieve, achieve. Work, work, work.
و امروز هم زندگی من ممکنه جور دیگری یعنی به طور غیر قابل اداره بشه و ممکنه مثلا من با بیش از حد کار کردن دچار این غیر قابل اداره شدن بشم که دیگه حاضر نیستم یه دقیقه صبر بکنم، نمیدونم یه ذره مرخصی بگیرم، یه ذره استراحت بکنم، یه قهوه بخورم، یه بستنی بخورم، همش دلم میخواد کار بکنم و به دست بیارم و به دست بیارم و به دست بیارم.
So I'm not sure if this is not a good example and if you think you shouldn't interpret it, please don't, but I saw a cartoon yesterday and it was a woman in a jail cell and the person was saying to her, what would you like for your last meal? And she said, well, what do you want? Because this would be like a typical unmanageability. I don't take care of myself. I try to take care of you first, which is a caring, loving, feminine thing to do. But like even this is her last meal on earth and she's going to ask the other guy what he wants. Like that's the sort of thing I do. I don't figure out what do I need first and then try to be helpful to other people. I have a tendency to put, and I don't want to make it, and that's why I'm saying if you don't think it's, you should interpret it. I don't know. I want to be respectful for what, like, to use a jail example. I don't know if that's a bad example, but I don't know. What do you think?
No, it's fine. But the last part is what I have to figure out, what do I need first?
Right. Because if I don't, my life is unmanageable.
Yes. و ایشون میگن که دیروز داشتن یه کارتونی نگاه میکردن که راجع به یک خانومی داخل زندان بود که ازش میپرسن که آخرین غذایی که میخوای بخوری چیه؟ و اون خانوم با اینکه تو زندان بود و آخرین غذای زندگیش بود گفتش که شما چی دوست دارید بخورید؟ و این بعضی وقتا اینجوریه که ما به عنوان یک زن میایم و میخوایم که فقط به فکر این باشیم که چجوری دیگران رو مراقبت ازشون بکنیم، یا اینی که به جای اینکه بگم من چی احتیاج دارم و من اگر امروز دنبال این نباشم که بفهمم اول من به چی نیاز دارم، زندگیم غیر قابل اداره میشه.
Thank you, Sol. So what I would give an example today is I have 5 brothers and sisters, and I'm the youngest, but I take care of my dad's bills and caring for him. He's 94 years old, and you know, I want to be a daughter that I can be proud of, but I'm not always the daughter my dad wants me to be. My dad wants me to answer immediately whatever he wants. Sometimes I have to put my children first, my job first, my husband first. And today, because of the program, I can be proud of the daughter that I am, even if my dad is not happy or my siblings think I should be doing something else.
من مثلا یه مثال میزنم. من یک بچه ای از 5 بچه هستم و کوچکترینم و پدر من خیلی وقتا، یعنی مخارج پدرم رو که 94 سالشونه میپردازم و ممکن من اونجوری هستم که برنامه طوری منو ساخته که من از خودم به خودم افتخار میکنم، ولی ممکنه پدر من اینجوری نباشه یا همچین احساسی نکنه یا دوست داشته باشه هر لحظه تماس میگیره من جواب تماسشو بدم، در حالی که بعضی وقت من بعد بچه هام، کارم و شوهرم رو اولویت بذارم. و این دستاورد برنامه است که من امروز از خودم راضی هستم حتی اگر خواهر برادرای من ممکنه نباشن.
So this leads me to step 2, and where I'm from we talk about I came to, became aware, i.e., and then I came to believe, are sort of 3 steps in within step 2.
So it was I came to and?
So I came, meaning I came to the meeting or the program. I came to, which means for us, like I became aware. Like if you were unconscious, you come to, meaning you come around, you awaken up. And then I came to believe is coming to believe that there is a God that can solve this problem for me.
و بعد حالا ما میرسیم به قدم 2 که میگه من به این رسیدم، وارد شدم، که حالا این اولین قسمتش میشه شاید وارد شدن به یک بار، وقتی وارد جلسات شدم شاید یک قسمت از قدم 2 برای من این بود که من آگاه شدم، ولی بعدش میشه به این باور رسیدم که در که اونجا یعنی میام به باور خدا میرسم.
So I started coming to the program because one of my sisters got sober, and then my kind of coming to was listening to people speak and realizing, wow, I relate to like everything everybody is saying.
و من وقتی وارد برنامه شدم به خاطر این بود که دیدم یکی از خواهرای من پاک شده و هوشیار شده، ولی با وقتی واقعا میخواستم به باور برسم اون موقعی بود که میومدم و میشستم و گوش میدادم و میدیدم که دیگران صحبتهایی که میکنن واقعا من همشون رو احساس میکنم و درک میکنم.
So even though when I say I came to believe, I believed in God before I got here. I'm from a very religious family. My sister was a nun and my uncle was a priest. Again, I don't know if that's helpful to say. I don't want to offend anyone. But I came from an extremely religious family, very strict family by American standards. I get maybe that wouldn't be so strict. I don't know. But what I mean by coming to believe for myself in AA is I really thought, like in my family the saying was you row and God or let's see, God doesn't do for you what you can't do for yourself. And what I learn is like what I need to do, what I've learned to do in AA, coming to believe means trying to figure out what God's will for me is and to carry that out. Whereas the way I was raised was more, don't go against God's will, but, you know, it is your job to try to make things happen in your life. So like, you know, for instance, like if somebody thinks they don't want to hire you for a job, like show up every day until they just are like, okay, fine. Instead of like the AA way, I feel is more, if that person doesn't want you for the job, then keep getting your resume out there. Keep trying to see, where does God want me to be? It will become clear. I don't have to force my will. That's not faithfulness.
و ایشون میگن که من از یه خدا رو قبل از اینکه وارد برنامه بشم میشناختم و پدر یکی از عموهای من کشیش بود و خواهر من یکیشونم خواهر روحانی بود، ولی اینا هیچ کدومشون اون خدایی که من به باورش در برنامه رسیدم رو به من نمیداد، با وجود اینکه خانواده من خیلی سخت مذهبی بودن و خیلی چیزهایی رو من تو برنامه فهمیدم، مثلا اینکه خداوند اون کاری که من برای خودم میتونم بکنم رو برای من نمیکنه و اینی که من باید دائم دنبال این باشم که اراده خداوند رو جستجو کنم و اونو انجام بدم. به طور مثال وقتی من قبلا میخواستم یه جا کار بکنم، اگه اونا نمیخواستن منو استخدام کنن، من هر روز میرفتم تا اونا بالاخره منو استخدام کنن، ولی الان وقتی همچین اتفاق میفته اصرار نمی کنم، رزومم رو میبرم جای دیگه ای که ببینم شاید خدا برای من طرح دیگه ای داره و به قولی نمیام که اراده شخصی خودم رو به زور بخوام اجرا کنم.
Okay, so really that's sort of, you know, I think what I would say today, I didn't give a lot of, you know, background about my drinking. I don't know if that would be helpful. I think Ali was saying pretty much, you know, talk about step one and two. But I guess what I would say today is, you know the tree by its fruits. And so the fruits that have happened in my life is I've had the same job teaching for 28 years. I've been married for 22. I have two beautiful children who are doing well in school. I have a relationship with you know, my whole family, even when they are feuding and not getting along. I am Switzerland, a neutral party, you know, and in the middle, and I don't participate in other people's fights and triangulate. I have a loving relationship with my husband, and I have a sponsor. I sponsor women. I belong to a group. I go to lots of meetings, and I can sleep at night and like myself. And when I came here, I don't think any of those things were true. Maybe I had a job. I think that's it.
و خب من اون چیزی که میخواستم راجع به قدم یک و دو بگم همینا بود و فکر میکنم که باید از یه درخت رو از میوه‌هاش میشه شناخت که آیا اون براش کار کرده یا نه. و من 28 ساله که شغل تدریس رو دارم و 22 ساله که ازدواج کردم، دو تا بچه خیلی خوشگل دارم که تو مدرسه هستن، رابطه‌ام با خانواده‌ام خوبه، حتی اگه اونها بعضی وقتا مشکلات دارن یا رابطه‌شون با هم یا با من خوب نیست، من مثل کشور سوئیس میمونم که تقریبا همیشه در منطقه بی‌طرفیه و رابطه عاشقانه‌ای با همسرم دارم، جلسات زیادی میرم، راهنما دارم، راهنمای خانم ها هستم و شب که میخوابم با خیال راحت میخوابم و اینها همه اون چیزاییه که این برنامه به من داده. وقتی من وارد برنامه شدم فقط یه کار داشتم.
Okay, Ali is texting me and saying I have to talk for more time. But I don't know, like, is your group a lot of newcomers or people with time?
Yes, we have a lot of newcomers.
Okay, so, you know, please tell me if what I'm saying is not helpful. Like, you know, I just don't want to be culturally...
Don't worry, I will do it.
Okay. All right, so I'll just, you know, I'll tell a little bit the reason that brought me to AA. I was teaching in New York City. And I was becoming a woman who I was ashamed of the woman I was becoming. My mother and my grandmother were, I believe, gracious women, admirable women, women who didn't lie. and didn't have a secret life. And I was the kind of woman who I would not have wanted what I was doing published on the front page of the New York Times.
من وقتی که توی نیویورک درس میدادم و کم کم احساس میکردم واقعا از اون زنی که بهش تبدیل شدم احساس شرمندگی و احساس ازش خجالت میکشم، چون مادر من و مادر بزرگ من واقعا زنهای بسیار زنهایی بودن که خیلی میشد بهشون افتخار کرد، یک زندگی پر دروغ نبود زندگیشون، یک زندگی قایمکی نداشتن، ولی من یه زندگی قایمکی داشتم و پر از دروغ بودم.
So one of my jobs was to help my students to grow into admirable adults, and I felt that I was being a hypocrite because the person that was showing up for work and trying to be a teacher, you know, was staying up all night and, you know, making new friends in a not positive way, and also blacking out. You know, that was one thing. I'm from Irish background, and we do have a tendency to have more drinking problems than the average person. And so I knew that the blacking out, losing time, being aware and awake and walking around but not remembering anything was a really bad sign. I knew that. So I was trying to only drink on the weekends, you know, not drink during the day, only drink immediately after work and finish drinking by 10 p.m. Like, I was trying all these ways to manage an extremely unmanageable, a really unmanageable situation. Mm-hmm. What we say in New York is you can try to ride a grizzly bear. Perhaps it can be done, but it's very uncomfortable.
و ایشون میگن که وقتی که من یکی از کارهام این بود که به دانش آموزام یاد بدم که چجوری تبدیل به افراد بالغ با احترام و یعنی محترم بشن، و بعد وقتی میومدم این کارو میکردم خیلی احساس میکردم که یک آدم دورو و ناصادقی هستم، به خاطر اینکه من خودم شب قبلش تا دیر وقت یا تا صبح در حال مشروب خوردن بودم، شاید اصلا سیاه مست شده بودم و کارهایی کرده بودم یا روابطی برقرار کرده بودم که خیلی جالب نبود، و چون من از پیشینه و بکراند ایرلندی هستم به خاطر همین خیلی توی ما امکان اینی که بیشتر مشکل مشروب خوری داشته باشیم بیشتره، و من خیلی تبدیل شده بودم به کسی که سیاه مست میشه و در مستی راه میرفتم، کارایی میکردم که بعدا یادم نمیومد، و این سیاه مستی یک نشونه خیلی بدی بود، و من خیلی سعی میکردم یه جوری اینو کنترلش بکنم، مثلا فقط آخر هفته ها مشروب بخورم یا بعد از کارم شروع کنم و تا 10 شب دیگه ادامه بیشتر ندم، و همش داشتم سعی میکردم یه جوری اینو کنترل بکنم و ثابت کنم که من یک الکلی نیستم. و یه اصطلاحی دارن که میگن اگه شما بخوای سوار یک خرس گریزلی بشی و اونو برونی، یعنی مثلا یه سوارش بشی مثل یه اسب، ممکنه بشه ولی خیلی ناراحته.
So what I was trying to do was manage this unmanageable situation. And when I was saying before, you know the tree by its fruits, at that point I had 5 apartments in 5 years. I probably had 5 boyfriends in 5 days. I don't know if you want to say that, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, I had, my family was disgusted, not because they saw me drinking. I really tried to hide that. But my behavior was terrible. I was easy to pick a fight with, always in someone else's business, commenting when nobody was interested in my comment, overly critical of myself, but, you know, of them. And really just like not a nice person, you know, definitely not a person I was proud of. And so I needed anesthesia to deal with how painful my life was. So today it's, okay, sorry.
و من اون موقع بود که مثلا تو 5 سال 5 تا آپارتمان عوض کردم. معلوم نیست شاید در 5 روز 5 تا رابطه تغییر میدادم و بعد اینی که خیلی رفتارهای ناجوری داشتم. خانواده من واقعا بعضی وقتی دیگه نمیتونستن من تحمل بکنن و به خاطر رفتارهایی که داشتم، برای اینکه همش دائم میتونستم راحت جر و بحث و دعوا را بندازم، دائم تو مسائل دیگران دخالت کنم، دائم اظهار نظر کنم یا دیگران را نقد بکنم و واقعا آدم جالبی نبودم و برای همین مجبور بودم که یک بی‌حس کننده‌ای مصرف بکنم که با این زندگی سختی که داشتم سپری می‌کردم راحت کنار بیام.
So when I was living, you know, in the city, I tried to go to meetings. I did go to meetings, but I needed to join a group where people knew me and really called me on my stuff. So in New York, there were just so many meetings and so many people. When I was going there, there were 2,000 meetings a week. So you could go from 6 o'clock in the morning until 1 a.m. at night, any hour, any day, any neighborhood, anywhere. But you wouldn't necessarily see the same person there the next day that you went and the day after that. And it was just, you know, transient, I guess is the word.
Transient.
It means like nobody stays.
Changing.
Nobody,
yeah.
Yeah. Like not rooted.
Oh. من توی شهر نیویورک وقتی شروع کردم به جلسه رفتن، جلسات خیلی زیادی اونجا بود، یعنی فکر کنید مثلا 2000 جلسه در هفته اونجا برقرار میشه از 6 صبح تا 1 شب و هر ساعتی بخواین شما میتونید برین جلسه ها. ولی جلسه ها اینجوری نبودش که مثلا من اگه امروز وارد این جلسه میشم فردا هم همون ساعت برم همون آدم ها رو میبینم و دائم در حال تغییر بود.
So what happened was I went out to visit my family, and one of the things I was telling myself was that I was too young, really, to have a problem. I was only 25, and I went out to a meeting near where I grew up, and there were 60 people that were a member of this particular group, and they were all under 30 years old. A lot of them were, like, even under 20 years old. And I went to high school with a number of them. And so it became very difficult for me to say I'm too young or I don't really have a problem or like, because not only had they admitted they have a problem, but they were like totally on board with getting sober and really didn't have any tolerance for my like shenanigans or complaints or I don't want to call people or I don't want to go to a meeting every day. They were like, go ahead and drink again. Go ahead. And I was like, what?
How old were you?
I was like 24.
Yeah. Same for me, 26. And yes. و ایشون میگن که من خب این جلسات بهش میگفتن جلساتی که مثل حالت گذرا داره، یعنی اینی که همیشه آدمهاش انقدر تغییر میکنن. و من وقتی رفتم وارد یک جلسه شدم که نزدیک جایی بود که زندگی میکردم و 60 تا عضو داشت حدوداً. خیلی هاشون زیر 30 سال بودن و خیلی هاشون زیر 20 سال بودن و اون بهانه‌ای که من می آوردم که من خیلی جوانم و زود اومدم تو برنامه اصلا اونجا معنی نداشت، چون اون افرادی که زیر 20 سال یا زیر 30 سال بودن کاملا داشتن AA رو انجام می دادن و اگه من می گفتم من نمی خوام این کارا رو بکنم، می گفتن خب برو مشروبتو بزن.
Okay, so don't tell them this, but a lot of the boys were really cute at the meeting. So for me, you could say I was attracted to, you know, the enthusiasm, and like I was a person that used to say I was going to travel and say I was going to